Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our News Watch unit for today, and we've got a couple of news stories. One is something that you might relate to because it's happening right here in Taiwan, and it has to do with 7-Eleven. And 7-Elevens, of course, are everywhere. And then the other news story, we're going to Africa, and we're going to Uganda there. There's something called social media tax, which, you know, is kind of controversial, and you never know, they might introduce such a tax here in Taiwan someday.
I hope not.
Because
it affects free speech. It affects the amount that people can say. You know, they can't express their opinions if they don't have enough money to get online and use some of those social media platforms, as we call them. So we'll talk about that and some of the pros and cons. I think it's really fascinating that 7-Eleven is going to open a gym. That's crazy.
Yep, there's a gym opening up at a 7-Eleven near Sing Tian Temple, the Sing Tian Temple MRT station, which I assume is near Sing Tian Temple in Taipei. But we'll talk about those details as we get into our subject for today. So let's begin our lesson right now by reading through the content. Please listen carefully.
"7-Eleven opens gym in Taiwan." A 7-Eleven convenience store in Taiwan is set to introduce a new service. In June 2018, the company announced plans to open a 7-Eleven gym, Being Fit, located above a store close to Sing Tian Temple MRT station in Taipei. Unlike the store, the gym won't be open all day. Its hours will be from 6 a.m. to midnight. However, it will be fully equipped with machines and free weights and will offer exercise classes such as Pilates, yoga, and TRX. The gym will also have showers stocked with shampoo and other necessities. The gym is just one of several recent store innovations introduced by 7-Eleven. Another store in Taipei is fully automated and operates without staff, while still another in Banqiao offers a beauty service. However, 7-Eleven can't claim to be pioneering the gym idea. In Japan, Family Mart already announced plans to open a number of gyms in its stores. It's also planning to install laundry machines. Both companies seem set to diversify the types of services their convenience stores have to offer.
Uganda introduces social media tax. Uganda's government introduced a new tax on social media on July 1, 2018. The tax, which charges people 200 Ugandan shillings, about 1.5 NT dollars per day, applies to sites and apps such as Facebook, Line, WeChat, and more. According to the government, the money raised will be used to pay for electricity, education, and medical care for the country's poor. However, critics of the new tax claim it targets the poor as well as restricts freedom of speech. Furthermore, they say it will be hard to enforce as it's unclear how social media users will be identified. Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni is a key figure behind the new tax. He has said that in addition to raising money, it will help cope with the consequences of gossip. Museveni has also made negative comments about social media users, and during the presidential election of 2016, access to most platforms was blocked. He claimed this was to stop the spread of lies. It remains to be seen whether Uganda will be able to successfully implement the new tax law.
Let's start with our first news story, guys. 7-Eleven opens gym in Taiwan. As we've said probably in the past several times, I'll repeat it because it's a good reminder.
Okay.
Anytime you have a title to a newspaper story, it's called a headline. And those headlines usually aren't complete sentences. So sometimes they'll be missing, you know, articles, definite articles like the or even general articles. The indefinite, as we say, an and. This one's missing an Jim because Jim is countable. So remember that Jim is not non-count. It's just because this is a headline that we're not serious about making it a complete sentence because space is tight. In a newspaper. It used to be. Now we're all publishing online and it doesn't matter. But in the good old days when we had printer presses, we didn't have a lot of space. So they would drop words that weren't essential.
I'm very sure our dear students will understand this because Chinese newspapers are the same.
Ah.
The headlines are very compact. And of course, as a foreigner studying Chinese, I probably can never really understand what the news story is about unless I actually read the article. Then I can go back to the headline and figure out, oh, that's what they mean there.
I think the headlines on Chinese papers are hard.
Yeah.
Because I'll understand every character and I still don't know what they're saying.
Right. It's the same idea. It's kind of simplifying the contents of the article. So here we go. The headline for the first story is 7-Eleven opens gym. In Taiwan, we could say that 7-Eleven has opened a gym in its convenience stores here in Taiwan. Now, a 7-Eleven convenience store in Taiwan is set to introduce a new service. And here we're calling this a convenience store. I could understand why people would want to call this a convenient store. We don't call it that. Convenience just refers to any situation in which things are made easy and they are made convenient. But we do use the word convenience when we talk about these stores. We could say convenience stores are very convenient to go to.
Yeah, it could be that it's really close by, it's handy. That's why we say something's convenient. But please do not call those stores convenient stores, which I've seen quite often in Taiwan. Mm. You want to use the noun convenience store, and that convenience turns into an adjective if it precedes that noun store. But they're very convenient here in Taiwan, which I love. So anytime you have something that has the quality of being really useful, easy, maybe suitable, you can use that adjective convenient. I just want to note, though, it's kind of weird. The British actually use convenience, the noun, as a way to talk about a public restroom, a public toilet. We do not do that in America, but if you hear it used that way, that's what they're doing. So they're set to introduce a new service, kind of putting a gym into the 7-Eleven, and they're calling that new gym Being Fit, where Being is all caps. So Being Fit. Getting fit is very popular these days. I see a lot of new gyms, not the ones at 7-Eleven, but new gyms in my neighborhood that are opening smaller places, not the big, huge, like World Gym that I belong to, but lots of smaller gyms in the neighborhood, very popular.
It makes sense, especially in the big cities where people live in smaller apartments and it's not convenient to work out there. I work out at home myself. I kind of live in a multi-story building or something like that, so I can set up a gym on the first floor without disturbing the neighbors. But yes, indeed, these gyms are quite popular. And now 7-Eleven is getting on the bandwagon, and this particular gym will be located above a store close to Tsingtian Temple MRT station. And unlike the store, the gym won't be open all day. Its hours will be from 6 a.m. to midnight. And this does happen in some 7-Elevens. They have a separate area where people can sit at tables and eat microwave food or something like that or drinks and stuff like that. And that area isn't open 24 hours a day. So this gym is not 24 hours a day. It's only from 6 to midnight, which is a lot. That's 18 hours, okay? And who's going to work out at 1 a.m. anyway? And however, it says it will be fully equipped with machines and free weights and will offer exercise classes such as Pilates, yoga, and TRX. Now, I don't really go to the gym that often. I haven't really gone to a gym since I was in university, but I'm assuming the machines are those weight machines where there's a little piece of metal that you stick in a slot to determine how heavy it is, and you can do push-ups or pull-ups or all sorts of things on those machines. And then free weights are like dumbbells, right?
And barbells, yeah. That's true. So they've got the weight machines, maybe. I know, Jim, they have matrix machines, but a very popular brand that Tom probably has heard of is Nautilus, Nautilus Equipment.
Yeah, that rings a bell. Yeah.
I also have some free weights at home. I have some dumbbells that I use. And also, I just bought a kettlebell, too. So you can buy free weights where you can change the way you lift. You can maybe use it on your arms one day, your back the next, your legs the next. But those weight machines, you can't really adjust those very much except for how much you're lifting, whether you're using your arms or your legs. So the gym will also have showers. Woohoo! So you can go and sweat to your heart's content and then take a shower. It says the showers are stocked with shampoo and other necessities. Necessities is a word we use to talk about things we need, life's necessities, food, electricity, you know, a home, a place to live. Those are necessities. Everyone has a different definition of necessities. For me, a very important necessity is air conditioning because I don't like to be hot. But if you're stocked with something, it means that sort of thing is being supplied. So you'll find shampoo there. You're probably going to find some towels as well, which they usually offer at gyms like that I go to. Before we move on, though, I wanted to mention Tom used a great phrase that's really kind of cool, but I wanted to define it in case people don't know what it is.
Okay.
If you jump on the bandwagon or you get on the bandwagon, it just means you're joining a trend that's kind of popular, so you're not left behind. You want to be cool, so you're going to jump on the bandwagon. You go along with the crowd. So it is a popular thing these days to open a gym or to join a gym. Everyone's doing it.
Except me, I'm content to work out at home. I've got a trampoline, a rebounder, free weights, and an exercise bicycle. So I'm a happy boy there. But in any case here, the gym is just one of several recent store innovations introduced by 7-Eleven. They're coming up with new ideas all the time.
True.
Of course, I don't know, maybe about 5-10 years ago, they had those machines in there where you could pay your bills and stuff like that. And later on, they started adding tables and chairs so people could hang out there and chat with their friends and stuff like that. And that's an innovation, which is something new that no one's done before. Another store in Taipei is fully automated, which means it's totally automatic and operates without staff. There'll be no clerks there. And then another one in Bonshou offers a beauty service. I guess you can get yourself a haircut if you stop in at the one at Bonshou. However, 7-Eleven can't claim to be pioneering the gym idea. So here we've got the word pioneer as a verb that just means you're the first one to do something. Mm-hmm. And I guess someone else came up with this idea before they. Family Mart already announced plans to open a number of gyms in its stores. I'm assuming that's in Japan. So Family Mart has already come up with that idea in Japan. But I guess 7-Eleven beat them to the punch here in Taiwan.
Cool. Pioneer can also be used as a noun. It's a person or a group of people that go to a new area of the world. No one ever has been there before. The pioneers. We had pioneers in America that moved from the East Coast to the West. And they settled the West, which was kind of scary back then. But here, of course, it's a verb. And it's a kind of a cool use. So try using that to pioneer something, to be the first person to try it. They're also planning to install laundry machines in 7-Eleven. So it's just going to be kind of like a home away from your home if you can go do your laundry there too. To install means to fix some equipment, put it in position so it's ready to be used. We use it for equipment usually that we can't install ourselves, but not always. You call the telephone company, they'll come out and install a phone line. Maybe you have a new refrigerator that you have installed, just things like that. The air conditioner was installed in my home by a professional. I was just not able to do it. So we use it that way. Now, both companies seem set to diversify. We're talking about Family Mart and 7-Eleven. If you diversify, you change things up so they're not all the same. You have a variety of things. They want to diversify the types of services their stores have to offer. So stay tuned. You're going to see some more stuff. Right now, though, we're out of time. We're going to listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to talk about our next story.
Hi, everyone. My name's Jenny. 今天我们要来看新闻。好，这是第六单元。那今天的新闻内容，这两则蛮有趣的。第一则，我们来看看大家熟悉的 7-Eleven 小七现在要开 gym。 我们看一下 GYM 这个字 Gym 它的原字是 Gymnasium 后面很长就是 GYMNASIUM 但是我们知道英文里面这种例子很多越长的字不好念的字把它简化所以只要前面三个字母GYM, Gym, 那我们看 7-11, 他要开健身房了。首先他就说原来啊真的他就要推出这种新的服务而且时间是2018年的6月。好我们来看这个地方有一个片语哦 ,A 7-11 convenience store in Taiwan is set to, 这个 is set to, 当我们讲一件事情打算即将要你可以用 be 动词然后 set, 再加 to, 再加不定词。好所以我们知道这个地方意思就等于 is about to, 它即将要推出这样的服务。好我们来看地点在哪里就在行天宫这个捷运站这边的 7-11, 它就在楼上开了一家健身房。好那我们说这个店哦它开放的时间呢诶它不是像 7-11 一样24小时它的开放时间它用 its hours。我们常说 hours 一小时两小时这个大家都知道可是我们有时候提到 open hours,Office hours 表示办公室办公时间它开放的时间就是用这个字 hours 那所以它的开放时间早上6点到半夜12点好那这边提到里面有的器材它说到有一种是 free weights 我们稍微注意一下这个 free weights 指的到底是什么 weight 当名词来看是它的器材所谓自由重量器材讲的是哪些呢就是我们在健身房里面举哑铃啦杠铃啦这种东西它是不限制你的距离角度方向所以说这种我们叫它 free weights 这样子的器材在里头而且配备齐全哦他说到这间健身房其实只是他的商店创新其中的一项还有别的当我们列举事情的时候 one 一个再讲第二个的时候 another 不止两个有第三个的时候你说 still another 当然这个 still another 通常就表示你不想再说了所以往下看就会看到这个结构 one, another, still another 好此外我们再注意到其实在日本全家便利商店它就有宣布了好我们来看看这句话 Family Mart 我们知道是 Seven 的敌手这个全家便利商店它已经开设了一些健身房提到一些 a number of 注意到这个片语加的是可数复数名词表示一些
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, let's talk about our next news story. We're going to Africa and the country of Uganda. Mm-hmm. Uganda introduces social media tax, which is interesting because social media, of course, is quite popular here in Taiwan with, what, Facebook, Instagram, Line, et cetera, et cetera. Just ways to contact other people, send messages, send stickers, send pictures, send videos, et cetera, et cetera. And I guess in Uganda, they're going to have a tax on that. So that's pretty alarming to me. But in any case here, Uganda's government introduced a new tax on social media in July of this year, on July 1st, 2018. And the tax, which charges people 200 Ugandan shillings, which is about 1.5 NT dollars per day, applies to sites and apps such as Facebook, Line, WeChat, and many other ones. So indeed, I guess if you use these social media websites in Uganda, you might have to pay a tax for that. To me, that goes against free speech, but they may have their reasons. I'm not quite sure what they are. We'll find out in a second.
I think they're trying to shut down free speech.
I would say they're probably trying to control things like they do in North Korea.
It's kind of hard, too, because the poor already have a hard time just, you know, getting by with the necessities. Remember, we talked about that word necessities. And now, if they want to use social media, they have to pay extra? Not good. According to the government there in Uganda, The money raised will be used to pay for electricity, education, and medical care for the country's poor. So even though they're putting this tax, they're saying, oh, but we want to use it to help people. Yeah, sure. So they are going to use that tax to help pay for the poor. Medical is a word we use when we're talking about things related to medicine, medical. So, for example, I have a friend who is a doctor. We call her Dr. Willoughby, but she's not a medical doctor. She's a PhD, right?
Okay.
So sometimes to make the difference, we'll say, oh, he's a medical doctor, because in America, at least, we call them all doctors, whether they're a professor or a doctor who practices medicine in a hospital. And to differentiate, to tell the difference between the two, we'll say, not a medical doctor. Yes, a medical doctor. They get more respect, and they should.
Indeed, but this is to help pay for electricity and education and medical care for poor people in Uganda. At least that's according to the government. Who knows? Maybe that's what it really is for. However, critics of the new tax claim it targets the poor as well as restricts freedom of speech. So people who are criticizing this tax say, hey, it actually targets the poor. In other words, the poor are the ones who have to suffer for this. Rich people, you know, oh, tax, so that's no big deal. We'll go ahead and pay it. It's petty cash, you know, no big deal. But if you're poor in Uganda, that may be a fairly large part of your paycheck.
Could be.
To pay that check. So it targets the poor, at least according to some critics. Furthermore, or in addition, they say it will be hard to enforce as it's unclear how social media users will be identified. So, yes, how can you tell which sites people are going to? So, of course, when we talk about laws, we talk about enforcing them. Mm-hmm. Like if the government has speed limits, you can't travel through this tunnel faster than 50 kilometers per hour. But you need to have the police there or you need to have cameras to enforce it. Otherwise, people are just going to ignore the law.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of places here in Taiwan where there's free Wi-Fi set up. There's no way they could actually, you know, follow that, measure what people are using, and then tax people according to their usage. It's interesting. So if you identify something, you establish who they are, you indicate who they are. So we'll see what happens, whether they're able to actually enforce this rather bad law, I would say. Mm. It not only targets the poor, it restricts freedom of speech, which in our next paragraph, we're going to find out that's exactly why they're doing it. Ugandan, and that's the adjective form for anyone or something from the country of Uganda, Ugandan. We've got a president, Yoweri Museveni. How did you say his name?
Museveni. That's Museveni. What I went through. Yeah. Yep.
We haven't talked to him. We're not sure how he pronounces it exactly, but he's a key figure. He's one of the important people behind the new tax. Sounds like he had a hand in coming up with this idea and then trying to implement it.
Exactly. Okay. So that was his idea. And he has said that in addition to raising money, it will help cope with the consequences of gossip. So, yes, he says, yes, this tax is to help raise money to pay for education, electricity, stuff like that. But here he wants it to cope with gossip, to cope with, you could also say, to deal with the consequences of gossip. Gossip means people are spreading information that really isn't confirmed. You'll probably hear gossip at school among your friends or gossip at the office. But again, gossip is just information that people are passing around, and it hasn't been confirmed yet.
We use the term fake news in America, which is very popular these days. But gossip's a little different. I think gossip applies more to just people, you know, who's going out with whom, who divorced, who, you know, all these sorts of things about people. But if it's about the government or policies, it's more like fake news. So, but they want to control what people are saying in the country, and so they've come up with this idea. Museveni has also made negative comments about social media users. He doesn't like them.
No.
And during the presidential election of 2016, Access to most platforms were blocked. See, he doesn't want you to get your hands on information. Access to something means you have the opportunity or the means to get somewhere. Maybe it's a place or maybe it's using something. We use access to talk about the internet, though. I don't have access to the internet. On Sunday night, I suddenly lost my Wi-Fi.
Oh, no.
It was gone for about an hour. Sometimes this happens in my neighborhood. They'll work on streets and hit something and... But I had no access.
What do you do? You probably feel naked without internet access. Mm. If there's no signal, what do you do? My goodness, you might actually have to watch TV or read a newspaper. Who wants to do that? But those platforms were blocked. He claimed this was to stop the spread of lies. He was trying to control information, of course, there. And it remains to be seen. We're just not sure what's going to happen, whether Uganda will be able to successfully implement the new tax law. I think it would be interesting to keep track of that news there because you might see this happening in other places, especially when governments or leaders want to control the flow of information. Okay, that brings us to the end of our explanation. Let's turn things over now to our Chinese teacher.
好，我们继续来看，除了小七的新闻之外，还有第二则，这个是在谈社群媒体税。什么叫做 social media tax 呢？原来在非洲有一个国家，它叫做乌干达。这个国家呢，它到底发生了什么事？原来它在7月1号的时候决定要收这个税。这个 social media tax 想当然就是说，如果你有用社群网站，像 Facebook、像 Line、像 WeChat 等等，这种都适用。好，适用这个片语 apply to。当然我们知道 apply 有两种解释，一种解释是申请，另外一种解释是应用适用于这个地方，就表示它适用于这些 social media websites， 所谓的社群网站。我们再继续往下看，就提到了那收了税到底要做什么。当然乌干达政府的意思是说，他会来帮国内贫穷的百姓们支付电力啦、教育啦，或者是医疗照顾。不过这样的说法当然就一定会有人批评。批评是怎么说的呢？他说啊， It targets the poor。 好， target 本来就代表目标，但是你把它当动词，就是以什么为目标，所以他是把穷人当目标，然后呢，后面又接着 as well as restricts freedom of speech， 除了把穷人当目标之外，它也限制了言论自由。我们注意一下 as well as 也算是一个连接词的片语哦，它后面呢要接一个名词，但是我们晓得这个片语有时候就相当于 in addition to， 意思就是说后面之外，这个之外还有前者。往往你用这个片语的时候会注意到它重点是前面提的东西，那所以你往下读到第二段的时候就会注意到它也用了一个 in addition to。 像在这个地方这句话里面，他说啊，他除了募款之外，这个乌干达总统他说他还可以帮助解决流言蜚语的后果。好，我们看到 It will help cope with the consequences of gossip as well as raising money。 好，我们讲解就到这边结束，我们下次见。
That's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us. And here's hoping that all of your news is fantastic news. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Bye.